Princeton Theological Seminary recently announced nearly $28 million would be set aside for reparations to make up for the school's ties to slavery. It's the largest commitment of its kind in the nation. But many Black students aren't celebrating. They say $28 million isn't enough.
I am not proud of this institution, and I will tell you why. I'm not proud because when you want to repent from a history of white supremacy, you have to take into account, what are the people who are hurt? What are they asking for?
So why are some Black students rejecting the seminary's proposal? And how is it forcing a bigger conversation about what making reparations should actually look like? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. My co-host Annette John Hall went to Princeton to get some answers. So Annette, what are Princeton Seminary's ties to slavery?
Well, it's a very complicated history. Let's just go back and talk about the seminary and how it was founded. It was founded in 1812. And by the way, Shai, it's not affiliated at all with Princeton University.
Okay.
And even though in 1812, most of the northern states had abolished slavery, it was still happening in New Jersey. And although the seminary did not own enslaved people, and there's no record of slave labor being used to construct buildings, some faculty and board members did keep people in bondage.
But like you said, the seminary itself didn't own enslaved people. Is there some more direct tie here than just faculty members holding people in bondage?
Well, yeah. The seminary benefited big time from the slave economy by investing in Southern banks. And a lot of the donors to the seminary were slaveholders themselves. But this is bananas, Shai. The entire faculty at this time, and about half the board members and some alumni, were part of the New Jersey chapter of this organization called the American Colonization Society.
What's that?
Well, basically, it advocated for sending newly freed people back to Africa because they thought that Blacks and whites couldn't live alongside each other in a free society.
And clearly, these are people who were born in...
They were born here, right? They were born here. That organization, by the way, was still around in 1964.
What?
Yeah. And get this, some of the members of the American Colonization Society, they had buildings named after them.
Wow.
On the campus.
So we're talking about the seminary as it was 200 years ago.
Yeah.
What is the place like today?
Well, today the seminary has 360 students studying to become clergy. They're getting masters of divinity and doctorates in divinity. And about 35 of the 360 are African American, or about 10%. And now the school is starting to look back on their history. And they recently, in October, came out with a report called the Princeton Historical Audit. And it's based on 2 years of research into the school's ties to slavery. And while they did acknowledge that the school had a complicated history, they also called its ties to slavery a profound moral failing. I reached out to the seminary about this, but they declined my request for an interview. But in an interview with NPR, here's what school president Craig Barnes had to say about this.
We're not afraid of the word reparation, but we prefer repair. Like, how do we repair the legacy that we've inherited?
So now they've announced this reparations plan. What does it say exactly?
Well, there are 20 approved initiatives so far, and they include establishing a Center for Black Church Studies, and that's going to take over $1 million to do. They want to name it after Betsy Stockton, who was a prominent Black teacher in Princeton and Philadelphia, and an enslaved person. They want to fund a new doctoral fellowship, and they want to add 10 new scholarships for master's students, which they will gradually increase to 30 over the next 4 years. All of this adds up to $27.6 million.
How did they come up with that number?
So officials came up with that number after calculating how much the scholarships and other programs would cost to support every year in perpetuity. But, Shai, a lot of Black students have been pushing back on that number and have been pushing the seminary to make reparations in a larger amount because they don't think that's nearly enough.
When we come back,
there's room for white people to benefit from these scholarships and other minorities to benefit down the line. So that's not really going to go to the purpose and progress of Black people.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking to my co-host, Annette John Hall. She recently visited Princeton Theological Seminary to talk to students about the seminary's proposed $28 million in reparations to make amends for its ties to slavery.
So, Shai, I was invited to attend a strategic meeting of the Association of Black Seminarians and their white student allies. I had to wait a couple of minutes because the students were coming back from chapel. They were grabbing lunch. And I was in this old auditorium in the basement of one of the buildings on campus. There were about 20 students in the room, equally divided, interestingly enough, between Black and white students. And I asked Nick Young.
My name is Nicholas Young. I'm a dual master's candidate in divinity and social work at Princeton Seminary.
President of ABS, how he felt about the plan.
I was happy to see them willing to do something and pleased to know that they were willing to take a step in the right direction on the long road towards justice. However, I was disappointed because it was not our plan.
What does he mean, our plan? Like, what are the students proposing?
Well, Nick Young said that, among other things, they were asking for loan forgiveness for descendants of the African diaspora who attended the seminary. They wanted more investments.
More investments in a sooner rather than later approach into impoverished communities.
But in talking to the students, there were two huge sticking points.
Okay, and what were they?
Well, the first was about the amount of money that was set aside for reparations. I spoke to Desiree McCray. She's a Master of Divinity student, and she's the ABS historian. And she says that $28 million is a drop in the bucket for a seminary with an endowment the size of Princeton's.
That is part of why I feel insulted by that dollar value. This institution has so much money. It's a lie that is being fed to us students that the number we have proposed and asked for and demanded is somehow unreachable. That number is around $147 million.
So it sounds like the students wanted this to be more closely based on the actual historical grievance of, you know, descendants of enslaved people, rather than simply coming up with a number of scholarships and then calculating how far out you're going to have to pay.
And a whole lot more money, because when you have an endowment that's $1 billion, if you do the math, even 15% of that would be a whole lot more than $28 million.
So when you actually look at the numbers, $27 million is changed to this institution.
And the other big sticking point, Shai, was who gets the scholarships. Now, this is pretty complicated because the seminary's language in its proposal says that the scholarships and fellowships will go to those, quote, who are descendants of slaves and underrepresented groups.
Who are underrepresented groups?
Well, this is the complicated part. The school says it worded it like that because there are federal non-discrimination guidelines that limit scholarships going to one particular racial or ethnic group. So while they can focus on descendants of African Americans to the extent allowed by the guidelines, they can't be limited to just Black students.
So that underrepresented clause could open the door for a lot of other students
poor students from students of different ethnic and racial groups.
That just goes to show you the historic struggle that Black people face has even been to the benefit of other minorities. So the doors that we open may even have the potential to help people who we're not really aiming to help.
Desiree says if the scholarships are not earmarked exclusively for Black students, the descendants of enslaved people, then why bother? Throughout this process, the Black students have been demonstrating. In October, the day after the Board of Trustees met to discuss the reparations plan, about 80 students held a silent protest in chapel during church service. They were up in the balcony, and they kind of formed this human wall during service with signs asking for substance, not symbols. And they didn't say a word. And from what I understand, it was a very, very powerful display. And when I talked to Nick Young, he said that they were finalizing their demands that they would present to the administration in the near future.
But whether or not they get what they want, this is really significant. Just the fact that the seminary was the first to commit to reparations of some amount.
I think it needs to be acknowledged that it is, Shai. There is no question that the reparations movement is having a moment right now.
In H.R. 40, this body has a chance to both make good on its 2009 apology for enslavement, to say that a nation is both its credits and its debits, that if Thomas Jefferson matters, so does Sally Hemings.
Congress recently held hearings about the feasibility of reparations. New Jersey lawmakers said last week that they want to start a task force to research the state's ties to slavery and come up with its own reparations plan. I spoke to Guy Mount.
I'm an assistant professor of African American history at Auburn University and one of the founders of the Reparations at U Chicago Working Group.
And he says what Princeton has proposed is a pretty decent start. At least it's something. But he says that the seminary shouldn't be the one dictating the terms on this when they're the ones who did the harm.
It sounds like he's on the side of the students a little bit.
He is.
If you kind of just do reparations 101, it doesn't start with what the university is going to give. It starts with what Black communities need. And if Black students say that they need X amount of dollars, that kind of needs to be the starting point.
But one of the biggest questions, Shai, is what does justice really look like? You know, Professor Mount said that when you consider that slavery was the most catastrophic human rights violation in the history of this nation, then no dollar amount is enough.
This is an attempt to repair the irreparable. Any amount that is payable would not be sufficient. And so even the material in this way is a certain kind of immaterial symbolic gesture to make right someone's mother being killed, someone's child being torn away from them. These are not repairable.
And Professor Mount says this shouldn't be about money. This should be a conversation about coming to terms with the past.
Thanks, Annette.
Thanks, Shai.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Tweet me at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.